From Digitiki.com.
I'd like to introduce to you one of the great classical cello players of our time. You see? You see? Wait a second. You see, that's what I mean. That's what burns me up. You see? That's why you guys are sitting here with the West Point cadet suits on for being wise guys. Now, let's have a little respect, huh? Give the man a chance. After he plays, we'll get him.
Welcome to the Quiet Village.
Welcome for another visit here at the Quiet Village. I'm your host, Digitiki, coming to you direct from Digitiki.com, broadcasting from the heart of the Quiet Village. You know what? I've got a Mai Tai sitting right here, and I've only taken one sip out of it, and I still can't talk. It's awful. Anyway, I want to welcome you all. I've got a great show, as always. It's always a great show, isn't it? Mr. Moai, from Mr. Moai and the Tiki Heads, Milton Moai, a.k.a. Mike Young, is going to be here talking about his band, Mr. Moai and the Tiki Heads, and his new album, Surfotica, which is getting quite a bit of notice in the Tiki community. I think you're going to dig it if you haven't heard. I have played a track off of it recently, and I'm going to play more. And he is going to be here via satellite all the way from North Carolina. And it was really nice. I got to meet and hang out with Mike as well as Darren Long, who I have known these guys virtually for quite some time. And I have not met them face to face. And they came to Palm Springs to visit to see my show, my Herb Alpert tribute show, which was at the Agua Caliente Casino. So that was really nice. So we got to hang out for quite a while and just have some cocktails. We shut a few bars down. But I have to put an asterisk next to that because we didn't actually hang out in those bars until they shut down. We got there as they were shutting down. But it's a nice story to say we shut down two bars in one evening. So that'll be really fun. Also want to remind you, those of you who are listening to this in almost real time, I know some of you guys find this show years later. And if you do, I'm sorry, but those of you who are listening as this is released, I'm going to be doing a seminar on Ernie Menahuni at the Tiki Caliente 2024 in May. That's going to be the weekend of Cinco de Mayo this year, 2024. And those of you who listen to the show regularly, you've heard me play Ernie Menahuni. I've done a couple episodes about Ernie, one with an actual interview with him. And a lot of people in the Tiki community still don't know him. Some record collectors, exotica and Hawaiian collectors do. He's still got quite a big following in the Southwest where he lived and performed a lot. The people that remember going to his shows decades ago. But I am going to do a seminar called Hawaii's Suntanned Irishman, which is about him. So I'm a little nervous because I perform with an instrument between me and the audience. So this time it's just going to be me talking seriously, like just serious talking and imparting information, which I hope is useful. But anyway, hope you guys enjoy it. I know that a lot of listeners to this show actually do attend Tiki Caliente, so hopefully you're going to attend the seminar. That will be a lot of fun. I'm also going to be performing with the Voodoo 5 at the end of April, the last weekend in April at Tiki Oasis, Arizona. We're going to be performing that Saturday. And then, oh boy, get this, we're all packing up Sunday morning and heading down to Tucson for an early show at Hotel Congress, the Voodoo 5, and then then basically turning and burning, baby. We're going to be, as soon as the show's over, we're loading up and heading back to LA for that long drive. So those of you in Tucson, I have many friends in Tucson, please think about coming out to Hotel Congress on, it's a Sunday, and I don't have my calendar open. The 20-something. I don't know. It's the last Sunday of April, and we'll be at Hotel Congress. So definitely check that out. All right. Let's get down to the music. And like I said, I have Milton Mowai, a.k.a. Mike Young, from Mr. Mowai and the Tiki Heads, from the album Surfsotica. And he is going to be on in just a few minutes. I got him on hold. So he's sitting there waiting. So let's get started with one of the tunes from the album Surfsotica, which is their first album. I love the title of this one, Cocktails for Breakfast. I am all in favor of it. So here we go. Mr. Mowai and the Tiki Heads from Surfsotica. Here is Cocktails for Breakfast, which I'm having right now. Thank you. All right. Mr. Moai and the Tiki Heads from the album Surfotica. And that's basically all I got time for because I got Mr. Moai himself, Mike Young, via satellite right now. But I want to tell you guys, definitely pick up this record. It is really good. It's called Surfotica, and you can find it on most streaming services. And, of course, you can always go to digitiki.com, go to the podcast page, check the links on this episode, which are at the bottom of the song list. All right. So now let's get on with the interview. Okay. I am here via satellite with the guy whose name I thought really was Milton, but he is Mr. Moai from Mr. Moai and the Tiki Heads. Mike Young, aloha. Welcome to the Quiet Village.
Aloha. Do I call you Marty or Mark?
I answer by everything. Digitiki, Marty, okay. Mark.
Yeah, you'll probably, as I go through the Mai Tais, it might go from Marty to Mark and Mark back to Marty. I don't know.
That's fine. Hey, you works for me too.
Okay, you know. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I can't tell you all the things my wife calls me, so.
You and me both.
We'll leave it at those.
I better be careful. She may listen to this later.
So it's great to have you on, and I have to apologize. I should have had you on a long time ago, but it was great to finally get you on, and I got to let everybody know, we met up at Palm Springs just
sure
recently. We got to meet face-to-face, and that was a lot of fun. We hung out, had a little too much rum. But
it was a good time.
It was
a lot
of fun.
Yeah, Palm Springs just went to the top of my list. It's a great place to visit.
I love that place. I love that place. I wind up going there quite frequently for tiki stuff. But I want to talk to you about your music career.
Hey, thank you.
Although you've done a lot more than that, but let's talk about your music career. This is your first one, right? Surfotica? Okay.
First into this genre, pretty much.
Okay, right on. Mm-hmm. And I want to let everybody know out there, you've got to get this, and you can find it. I'll let everybody know where you can find it first, because...
Sure. Well, it's streaming or actually digital downloads from my website, MrMoai.com. That's MRMOAI.com. It's available on Bandcamp.
Right
on. And, of course, all the streaming services, virtually every streaming service, you can get it there. It's the album is Surfotica. And we recently, maybe a month ago, released Rongo Rongo, a single with featuring the world-renowned Connie Manicura, a.k.a. Jeremy DeHart of the Manicoras.
And that's a great song, too.
Thank you.
I played that here, I think,
you
last
did?
Episode and
yep.
or an episode or two ago.
130.
It was great.
Yeah.
There you go.
How do I know that?
The 130 episode, you're counting. But I love this record because it's cool. It's up-tempo. It's got some surf, but it's also got Exotica and Ultra Lounge. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That's kind of what I was going for.
It's a lot of fun. So, and I love the titles that you come up with. The Dawn of Tiki, Cocktails for Breakfast, which I absolutely, I'm all about Cocktails for Breakfast.
Oh, yeah. You and me both.
Rum Roomba, Night of the Savage. Love that title.
Thank you.
I mean, the titles are just great.
Cool. Very cool.
You have Mai Tais at Midnight and Cocktails for Breakfast.
Yeah. I had to slip the cocktails in there.
Right on.
Yeah, I didn't want it to be a theme record, but, it started to go that way and maybe in the future.
And so do you come up with music ideas and name them, or do you come up with the names and then it gives you music
ideas? Well, with this project, there were actually two songs that I wrote about, 10, 12 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago. I don't know. Nalu Akua, that's the surfy kind of tune. And Cocktails for Breakfast, which has a little loungy feel and breaks into a little surf kind of thing. And then it goes back to loungy. And I wrote those a while back and I was just sitting on them. And I was doing the rock and roll thing. And I was doing rock music and, wasn't really inspiring me. And I always wanted to do something with Tiki. And I had these two songs that were pretty much, they were done. I had demos. Mm-hmm. And I could have put them out as that. But, since then, I've got new equipment and, I hope my skills have improved a little bit. And so I said, I'm going to re-record these and then maybe do a tiki album. I want to do something for the tiki bars, you know. And so I redid those, and then I just started churning out tunes, you know. I come up with ideas, little riffs, you know. I come up with a lick and then build a song around it. And they just kind of go the way they go. There wasn't really any planning involved. It was just coming out of my head.
They're cool. They got a good vibe, good flow to them. I love them.
Yeah, you know, the first one after I redid those two was Dawn of Tiki, and you so graciously, thank you, played it on your show almost a year ago. It'll be a year ago next month.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, believe it or not. God. It was like April 7th or something like that, and then I came out with the album in June of last year. But the Dawn of Tiki came really fast, which was kind of cool. I just got this little idea, and I was just doodling around on the keyboard with a backing track of some percussion, and it just took shape, and I cranked that thing out really fast, and that really motivated me to keep going, you know.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been on other projects too, which is great.
Sure.
Keep it rolling. I tend to get bogged down doing all the administrative stuff and all the stuff I have to do, and I realize, oh my gosh, I haven't written anything in a while.
There's a lot that goes on behind it. Yeah, I'm learning, with marketing and, growing a fan base and, trying to sell music and, that sort of thing. It's time suck for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There just isn't enough time in the day or the week or the month. And it drives me nuts.
Well, I got the advantage of being retired. I retired a few years ago. And so I can just do this and, mow my lawn in between.
And you live in North Carolina?
Yeah, Charlotte, North Carolina. That area, I'm a little suburb north of there.
I got to let everybody know that you and another good friend of mine, Darren Long from the Tiki Delights, you guys flew into Palm Springs to see my Herb Alpert tribute show, which I was blown away. I was so nervous. I'm like, oh my God, it better be good.
No, it was great. I got to tell you quickly the story, So when I got into the Tiki music, I started making friends on Facebook because I didn't have a Facebook presence. So that's where Milton Moai comes from. I had to do a Facebook profile and for a band page. And so it's just this fictional character. I don't really go by Milton Moai or anything like that.
You know, and I thought your name was Milton.
Okay. Well, you're not the first. But so I started making some friends, in the tiki musician world. And, I started chatting with Darren Long from the Tiki Delights. And we became friends online, started talking on the phone a little bit. And when your show was announced, he reached out to me and said, hey, you want to go see, Marty Lush and the Latin Livers. And I was like, it took me about a nanosecond to say, yeah, I'm in. if it's okay with my wife and the scheduling's good, I'm there. So immediately I got off the phone and I ordered two tickets to the show because I knew it was going to sell out.
Right on. And you hadn't been to Palm Springs before.
I haven't been to Palm Springs. I spent a lot of time in Southern California, in the San Diego area over my last probably 15 years or so. And, I had never met Darren until we went to Palm Springs. And he told me that you performed on several of his songs, but he had never met you in person either.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this kind of big meeting of, everybody in person, which turned out to be a blast.
It was a blast. It was a lot of fun. Rory's the consummate host. He invited us out to his little his tiki bar called the Lahaina Room.
Matter of fact, I'm drinking from his commemorative Lahaina Room glass right now. You can thank Rory that I'm inaugurating the glass with a Mai Tai on your show.
Right on. That was a fun night. We after the show, we all went out to we went to Melvin's, which was Sinatra hangout.
Yeah.
Beautiful restaurant. Love that place. Kind of one of the last with real linen tablecloths kind of place.
And a little bit of that musty smell from
I love that.
The 50s.
And we got there just in time for the last call because the show was late.
Yep,
and
then we kicked us out.
Then we moved over to the Tonga Hut in Palm Springs. We got there for last call.
Oh, yeah. We did.
So it sounds crazy. We can say we shut down two places that night, even though we were there while they were shutting down.
Yeah. I went back to the Tonga Hut because on my flight out on Saturday, my flight wasn't until 7 p.m. and I was time to kill. And so I went back to the Tonga Hut at 3 when they opened, and I got to talking with Murph, you know, the partner, the owner. And man, what he was a great host. And needless to say, I think after several of the drinks I had there, I would not have minded the middle seat if they had given that to me. I would have said, okay, I don't care. So it was pretty good. So I had a great send-off, let's just say that, from Palm Springs.
Right on. Yeah, I really like the Palm Springs Tonga Hut. It's got a good vibe. Murph is always there, and he's always the good host.
He was cool.
And the it's really cool. You know, and it's kind of cool to sit out on the patio during the summer when it's blazing hot.
Oh, yeah.
But it's you got this dark, this cold drink, and, you know, it's great.
Yeah, cool place. Very cool place.
Right on. Mm-hmm. So you have a military background. You're a helicopter pilot.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, in the Marines. Late 80s, early 90s.
You got to relate some of these stories you were telling me about. You were stationed in Hawaii, right?
I was stationed in Hawaii.
So you got to fly places that...
Oh, I've been on every island. Island. You know, we've done a lot of cool things out there. And I'll tell you, I went to Hawaii the first time I was 5 years old with my parents back in like 1969. Okay. You know how old I am now. And I think it got in my blood. I don't really remember it, but you go to Hawaii, I don't care how old you are, something gets in your DNA, you know? And then from that point on, I just love palm trees. I just want to live somewhere where there's palm trees. Now, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, originally, and there were no palm trees there. You can't even grow one, in a pot, indoors or anything. I mean, it's Milwaukee, there's no sun, for most of the year. And so I just want to do something fun. So, I went to college in Arizona for a year, and there are palm trees there. And that's really what got me there. And of course, I came back home, finished up, joined the Marines out of college, and I wanted to go somewhere warm and with palm trees. So I got into the aviation program and became a helicopter pilot, which took me to Pensacola, Florida for flight school.
Wow.
Palm trees there. Then I did my training in the CH-46 in Tustin, California.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, palm trees there.
And the blimp hangers.
Well, yeah, at least, there's one left. I think one burned down recently. Yeah. Yeah, I was actually, I had an office in one of those hangars, and that's where we would keep our, aircraft at night and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so, but I got Hawaii, and I specifically requested Hawaii. They, we had somewhat of a little say in it, and I said, I want Hawaii over anything else. So they sent me there. I was beginning my dream, And so off to Hawaii I go, and I start flying helicopters with HMM 165 was my squadron, and it was a great lifestyle. Now, I wasn't really, I would say, be honest with you, not into tiki per se, when I was in Hawaii, and being a young middle 20 something, kid, I really took it for granted. And, I probably could have done a lot more and seen a lot more there, it's kind of the stupid years, but I survived that. And, I went to the Gulf War. I did two deployments. Actually, I went to Japan. And so I got the kind of the Asian experience out there. And then, the Gulf War came up and we went and did that. So I was there for 8 months flying around the desert and came back. And it was an unfortunate turn of events. My father was ill with cancer. So then I had to leave Hawaii. And I was hoping to actually stay there for as long as I could do it, but so I went back to the Midwest to help out. Finally got out of the Marines, and kind of just moved on, but come your podcast in like the late 2000s, 2008 or so?
Really? Wow. Okay. Yeah.
That's when I started getting back into tiki. Yeah. Because I was visiting San Diego quite a bit. I'd go there several times a year because my father-in-law had a boat out there and we'd go visit, and it was a great place to stay, because the expensive San Diego is. So I go into the Trader Mort's. Remember Trader Mort's?
Yes, Trader Mort's.
Yeah, Trader Mort's. Great liquor store. And I picked up Tiki Magazine back in the day. And from Tiki Magazine, I started really getting the vibe. That and I had been going to the Bali High on a regular basis. And so with all that and the Tiki Magazine, it started bringing out all this tiki in me, and I learned about so many other bands that were playing this music, you know, I'd never really gotten into, you know, mm-hmm. from the old stuff, the Martin Denny and the Les Baxter to the newer stuff, you know. And I think I learned of your podcast, you know, through that magazine and listening to it probably early on, really early on. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So I was listening to it, you know, it's been over 20 years ago.
My God.
Since I started this.
I know. And I sometimes I go long periods between episodes and I try not to, but life gets in the way, you know.
It does. Sure.
You know, but, that's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of my story, you know, and, you know, and I worked in law enforcement for a few years after the Marines.
Okay.
And I stayed musical, you know, I tried to keep up with the guitar and drums and just playing on my own as much as I could. But towards, you know, the end, before I retired, I started really getting into the recording process again, you know, and updating my gear and started, you know, getting these ideas for like getting into the tiki music world. You know?
Right on. So, good for you. Keep going.
You. Oh, yeah. It's a blast. It's I'm having so much fun. I can't tell you how much fun I'm having.
When you were flying helicopters in Hawaii, mm-hmm. you were saying you got mm-hmm. to go on some of the islands that Kapu, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've been on Niihau, which is the Forbidden Island. Yeah. You know? What's the other one that's right off of Maui? Kaulavi, which was a bombing range.
Oh.
Yeah. No, you know, kidding. They used to use that in World War II. They used to use it to bomb, you know, to practice. And so there's all this, well, there was all this unexploded ordnance. And for decades afterwards, the Navy's been clearing it. And so our job was a medevac job. We'd go out there. We call it a day at the beach. You'd come into the squad room, you know, the ready room, and you'd see a day at the beach, and it'd be, you know, Captain Young and whoever. And, you know, we'd get a bird, and we'd fly out there in the morning with our little lunch pail and our lawn chairs and, you know, back then our Walkmans, you know, we had Walkmans.
Right on.
And I don't think we probably had CDs that were there, but they still, you know. Yeah, that was like 1989. And so, yeah, we go out there, we'd set up our lawn chairs, pull out the little radio, you know, and of course, nothing ever happened. So we just sat there till 5 o'clock and okay, no one blew anything up, no one, you know, blew their arms off or anything. We're good.
So that's why you were there. You were there for in case someone blew themselves up.
For that particular mission, you know, yes. You know, I mean, that was one of the things that our squadron did, you know.
Yeah.
We call it a day at the beach. So we'd sit out there and just suntan ourselves and wait for the call, you know, which never came, thankfully.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, but we did other things too that would, you know, supporting, you know, the Army there at Schofield Barracks and other Marine units that were there, you know, in training, you know, and then be ready to, you know, we're on a 6-month deployment schedule. So we'd go deploy somewhere for 6 months, come back for, I think it was like about a year and a half, and then we'd deploy again. So you got to
fly over some. Oh, beautiful coastline.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, one of the most beautiful things was the island of Kauai, you know, the garden island, right?
Yeah.
The northernmost island. And it's got that canyon. I think it's Waimea Canyon. And it's like the Grand Canyon, but green, you know, because there's stuff growing all over because it's Hawaii. And we used to fly training missions in the canyon, you know.
Really?
Yeah, below the surface, you know, in the canyon. And we do it at night sometimes with night vision goggles, too, which is really intense.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, oh, cool. I mean, I'm always fascinated by planes and flight and stuff like that. And it, to me, it just blows my mind. All the, you know, the flying a helicopter. Mm-hmm. I've watched YouTube videos of people who would, you know, they'd set it up over their shoulder and they're flying their little helicopter, but there's pedals and then there's a handle and then you've got a stick and it's like, what the heck?
Right. Well, you know, back in the day, you know, now they are the computerized stuff and we didn't have GPS back then.
Oh.
We didn't have or LORAN or those types of electronic navigational aids. All we had were the radio controlled stuff, you know, the gauges and the dials. So you know, you're going somewhere at night, you know, you'd have to do like time and distance, you know, you'd have like, hey, we're going this course for, you know, or however many minutes or whatever, and hope that we hit the spot, you know? It's come a long way.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, wow.
It's come a long way. So
that is fantastic. So now You are living the tiki lifestyle.
Oh my gosh, yes.
By making the music. And I know that, just be prepared that from here on out, I'm probably going to call you Milt.
That's okay. That's cool. That's good.
Funny because Darren has sent me a couple emails. He sent me some pictures of us and he's like, here, this is of Mike. And then in parentheses, he puts Milt.
Milt. Yeah. You know, I should have said Milt instead of Milton. You know, when I was coming up with the name, you know, for the band the fictitious band, because it's all me pretty much and a few guests here and there. You know, I wanted something that sounded fun and tiki, and I want to have something kind of, I don't know, like 60s, like the surf band thing and the Somebodies, you know? Yeah. So I did, you know, Moai. I wanted to be Moai and the Tiki Heads, but I wanted the web address, moai.com, and that was taken. Oh. So I'm like, well, okay, get that. So I was thinking, you know, Mr. Moai. Okay, Mr. Moai and the Tiki Heads. That sounds weird, different, you know?
Yeah.
It'll get some attention, maybe. Maybe I should have been Milt Moai. But in the Milton Moai, I was looking for that, like that old school 50s band leader sounding name, you know? I mean, who names a... Yeah, I mean, somebody might have their kid's name Milton nowadays, but probably not. It's kind of old school. And I wanted to come up with something that was just, you know, different. And I want everything to be fun. I'm in this for the fun. You know, I want the music to be fun. I want the titles to be fun, you know, and it's, you know, I'll take it seriously, but not too serious.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. I think, you know, Tiki in general was made for escape.
Yes.
So if people take it a little too seriously, it kind of just loses the point.
Yeah, it does. You know, there's all that day. You know, we were at Rory's after the bars. You know, Rory broke out the guitar and we started belting out, I don't know how many Jimmy Buffett songs, right? Which, you know, that can be a touchy subject in the tiki world. You know, Jimmy Buffett, is he tiki? Is he not tiki? Right. Yeah. You know, I've seen some of those discussions and it's ridiculous. And
I agree.
And I would say that, he's probably not tiki by, you know, my definition, but for me anyway, when I was in Florida at flight school, and that's how I learned to play the guitar, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Buffett was the gateway drug to tiki for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I learned how to play guitar by his songs, you know, by heart, songbook. It had little chord charts, and I'd, you know, do all the cowboy chords, they call them, you know, all the basic ones, and strum the songs. And that's what really got me going. So, I got to give him some credit.
I do too. I never quite understood it, because people will stretch out to things that are just not tiki and bring them into the tiki fold.
Oh my God. Tell me
except for Buffett, but he always had that ethos was relax.
Yes,
there's always tomorrow. It's always a weekend.
It's escapism, you know, Margaritaville, the fictitional, you know, world.
Yeah.
You know, that you go to just get away from all the garbage and crap in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm right there with you. And, I think the minute I start taking it too seriously is the time I need to go away.
Yeah, Buffett has margaritas and we've got Mai Tais.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't mind a margarita every now and then.
No, it can be a pretty good drink.
I'll mix one up in a while.
Absolutely. I'm with you there.
Yeah. So tell me, tell me about some of the stuff. I don't want you to give it away, but you know, tell me about some of the stuff you're working on now for the future.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, I've got a couple ideas and I won't give away too much because it's a surprise. Well, I've got, I'm hoping to release a 3-song EP, you know, in late spring, just in time for summer.
Right on.
And, that's going to be a pretty cool tune. It's a variety of songs. There's 3 songs, and I would say one sounds pretty exotica. And I'm hoping. Well, I'm going to be meeting up with Jeremy DeHart, who is Connie Manicura of the Manicuras. Next week, we're going to track some of his steel guitar on 1, maybe 2 of those songs, which would be pretty cool.
Right.
And then there's a really cool kind of, how do I describe it? Really song that starts off kind of tiki weird and it kind of goes into a Latin thing and then it gets into a spy vibe kind of, you know, solo section, which is really cool. And then it comes back to tiki. So it'll be interesting. And that's what I want to do. I want to also make sure that the music is interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Got to have changes and, you know, different instruments and things just to keep your attention. So I think it'll fit. You know, I always think it's like, how is this going to sound in the Tonga Hut, you know, or the Maikai?
Yeah.
You know, will this play well there? You know, and if it doesn't, then I won't use it, you know, because I have a bunch of stuff that I've done that I just tossed aside. Like, yeah, I don't know if they'll ever use that again.
Yeah.
So that's the one, the most current thing that's probably going to happen. And I've got some ideas for some more music down the road and, you know, some things that I've got in the archives that I'm going to revisit and maybe bring back out. You know, hopefully, you know, collaborate with more people.
Maybe we can all collaborate.
Let's do it. Yeah, absolutely. That would be a blast.
Yeah, I'm always up for that. I love doing that. You know, Darren called me. He reached out and he's like, would you like to play? We didn't really know each other, but he knew me from the podcast. I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, and, cool. You know, I played some of his stuff when he first came out. I'm like, yeah, you know, even though there is a number of people making exotica, or I would just say tiki music, because some of it branches into surf.
It's evolved.
Whatnot,
but absolutely. It's evolved.
It's still there. It's still a very niche.
It is very niche. Yes.
It's a small group.
I think I realized that when I did Surfotica. It's like, and I started getting a really positive response, you know, which I'm humbled by, trust me. I was like, man, I think I found a little niche here that I really like, you know, because first of all, I love the whole, the tiki thing. I love the atmosphere, obviously the drinks, the music. I mean, what more I can ask for? And if I can somehow contribute to that, it blows me away. And Surfotica has had a pretty good response, and it's motivating me to do more, you know, and let's keep going with it.
Good, absolutely. It's a great album. And of course, I'm featuring it on this episode.
I appreciate it so much. You know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's always awesome when you go to an event and you get to meet all the new people. You know, I found that typically everybody in the tiki community is pretty encouraging. They're like a new person, new sound. Gosh. They love it.
It's funny you mention that because I'll tell you another, it's a funny story for me anyway. You guys have been so accepting of bringing me into the community, and I am indebted to you for that. And it makes me feel really good. When we came out there, Darren and I, you know, came out and met you for the first time at Rory's Bar, The Reef. Great bar, by the way, in the Caliente Tropics Hotel. Yeah. I had to stay at the Caliente Tropics, you know, because it's so vintage, you know.
Yeah.
But we walked in there, and you were there and with the whole group of people, and you just made me feel at home. It was great. I felt like I was one of the guys right from the start.
It was cool. I mean, we just all sat down and started talking like we...
Yeah, it was amazing.
And been there 100 years.
And I'll tell you what, here's a weird thing. I was on the flight. I was listening to, I don't know if you know, Coop Cooper's Cocktail Nation.
Oh, yes. Love
and,
that.
Yeah, you've been on that show a few times. Mm-hmm. Coop asked me on his show, and I was honored that he had me on his show. And he's been playing my music. I love Coop. And on the flight out, I was listening to Skip Heller's interview on Coop Cooper's Cocktail Nation on the flight out there. And I come to lunch there, and I meet you guys. And who's sitting there? Skip Heller.
That's right. He hitched a ride with me.
I had no idea he was going to be there and playing in your band that night. And what a great guy. So I have known of Skip Heller from listening to these different shows. He's because he's a historian, you know, and he really knows his stuff, and he's on all these shows. And so I started to look into a little bit about what's Skip Heller about? What's his music all about? And it blew me away, quite frankly. And I discovered Skip Heller's Lua O'Milo album.
Right.
I heard that. Oh, my God. It was I'm going to wear that thing out. I've been listening to it nonstop since like 2 days now. And it is an amazing exotica album. And knowing that he had this relationship with Robert Dresden. Right?
And Les Baxter.
Les Baxter. I could hear the influence in there. I think Dresden's playing on that album, actually.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I could hear it, and I was like, wow, that is so cool. And I love that album, by the way. So
yeah, I definitely hear a lot of Les Baxter in that record.
Yeah, the orchestration. It's the orchestra part of it, you know?
Yeah. But
anyway, I thought that was really cool. And, you know, I'm pinching myself going, was this just a dream?
No.
Right?
Yeah. No, he's a great guy. I've worked with him for, you know, it's interesting. Right, we've known each other for a long time, and then it was a long time before we worked together. You know, I think he might have called me because he was short one Vibes player.
Yeah.
And he called me, and then it was that type of thing again. We just became fast friends, and it was like,
oh.
Now he calls me for everything, and sometimes I have to tell him I don't have time.
Oh, man, that's got to be hard. But anyway, so it was like, it just blew me away. I go there, and I get all these tiki greats. I'll tell you that. I was thrilled.
It was a fun weekend or pre-weekend.
Yeah.
It was like Thursday, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Hopefully we can get you guys back out here again.
Oh, I'd love to do it again, yes. Absolutely.
It would be a blast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up in San Diego, so I
heard
you were stationed there. So that was my,
I wasn't stationed there.
Oh, not stationed. Okay.
No. That was long after I used to vacation there.
Okay.
But gotcha. I had a connection and a place to stay. So I'd go out there a lot. I mean, I think 1 year I was there. I think I counted five times in a 12-month period. I was
wow.
San Diego from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah. That's a flight and a half.
Yeah, we'd bring friends out, you know, meet out there because we'd have this boat, you know, to hang out on. It was in one of those marinas across from the airport. You know, there's two marinas there.
Yeah.
The Sheraton hotels. And so the boat was there, and we'd live on the boat and hang out and take the boat out sometimes. Sometimes I'd take it to the Bali Eye. And dock
right.
it, you know, it's a 50-foot cabin cruiser, and I'd go out there and, you know, try to watch my Mai Tais, you know, had some interesting stories, you know.
Yeah, you know, one time I went to the Mai Tais, I think I might have told you this, I went to the Bali High, and I was sitting there at the bar by myself.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's late in the afternoon, and these young guys all, you know, and they got the deck shoes and the shorts, and they look like they've come off a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the deck hands on a big yacht. I guess. Mm. So they were hired deckhands, and they were talking about they had just come up from somewhere around. They had come up Mexico and and they were talking about it. And I was like, wow, that must be something.
I took a buddy of mine out there for the Bali High for his birthday. You know, we went out there and we were hanging out, and we went to brunch at the Bali High. Have you ever had brunch there?
I have not had brunch.
It's good.
I've had dinner many times.
Really good. So we had the brunch. Of course, the brunch includes probably a Mai Tai or two. And you know those Mai Tais are rocket fuel. Yeah, they're not really Mai Tais, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we had a couple. And then, you know, it's like 1 o'clock because we had a late brunch. We go to the bar. Oh, yeah, let's have one more before we go back. And we had taken the little dinghy from the yacht over to the Bali High, you know, so we had to take it back. And we're sitting there, you know, and everybody's so friendly, you know. And we're having our, you know, I don't know. I don't want to put a number on how many Mai Tais we might have had. And so some guy comes in to get some drinks to take back to the boat that he docked in, this huge, huge sailboat at the dock. And so so I'm talking to him. I say, hey, Mai Tais are pretty good, aren't they? You know, and he just, you know, small talk. He's like, oh, yeah, they're pretty good. Hey, you guys want to come join us on the boat? Finish up and come on down. You know, we're like, all right. So we finish up our Mai Tais. And we go back, we go down to the boat, and everybody's like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, we're just some strangers. We get on this sailboat, and we start drinking with them. You know, they're, hey, here's a beer, whatever, you know. They had a cooler full of stuff, you know. And we're talking, chatting it up, and they're like, hey, we're going to take the sailboat. You guys want to go sailing? We're like, yeah, sure, whatever. We're like three sheets to win at that point. Next thing you know, we find ourselves on a sailboat out in the ocean with a bunch of strangers going, where, you know, what's going on here? And there's way more to that story that I don't want to get into. To say that we made it back safely, and that's I'm gonna say.
Well, if it's any consolation, I know I do, and I'm sure anybody that's ever been to the Bali High has one of those crazy stories, and it all starts with I had an extra Mai Tai at the Bali High,
exactly. That's so true.
They're rocket fuel, and I think they actually probably even get some jet fuel from the
maybe some little JP5.
Man.
Yeah, that's the float, the little JP5.
The float.
Yeah, you know, my wife has told me I gotta do a wife joke. You know, she told me I gotta start cutting back on my drinking. So I'm cutting out the 151 float on my Mai Tais. That's my compromise.
You know, that's funny. I float a Demerara 151 on mine, my Quiet Village Mai Tais.
Yeah.
And my wife, she's like, "Did you get the float?" I'm like, "No, I didn't put it on." She's like, and she just hands me my drink back. She's like, "Float me." And I'm like, "It's gotta be on there."
I bought some Lemon Heart 151 up in Annapolis when I was up there about a little over a year ago for a wedding. I saw some, I bought it because I can't find it around here.
No.
You know, and so I'm stingy with my floats because I want that to last, you know. So,
yeah, that's all I use it for.
That and an occasional zombie.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You know, I took my kids to Hawaii. Oh my gosh, it's been a while. I swear every day, almost every day, there's like, "Why can't we move to Hawaii? Why can't we live there? Why can't we?" And I mean, even my wife, and we went to the Maui, just the two of us. Mm-hmm. And that's what inspired me.
Yeah, behind a sunset.
And I had to ask her too. I'm like, "Well, why can't we?" Because living in Los Angeles, you know,
it's probably not much different.
Not much.
In cost of living, because it's expensive out there. But
yeah, I think the certain things, like groceries, are more expensive, but housing is almost the same.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And we were looking at that. I'm like, yeah, my wife's a therapist. And I thought, well, you know, you could get a job there. She's a full on licensed, you know, LMFT.
Yeah.
LCSW. Yeah. There's so many letters I can't remember. And she's like, "Well, what would you do?" I said, "Well, I'd get a gig right off the boat."
Yeah, right. Exactly. I had two friends from the Marine Corps that stayed there. Were able to work it out. They ended up staying there, and they're there to this day.
Right. Pretty on. Cool. Mm. It's a beautiful place. The relaxed idea. Mm. You know, that whole, you know, relax.
Thing. Yeah, there's nothing like it in the world.
No.
I mean, I don't know what it is. I tell people, too, you know, if you ever think about going to Hawaii, you've never been there, you got to just make it happen at least once in your life.
Yeah.
Because it will change your life. There's something weird about it. It must be in the water or something. I don't know. But, you know, you go there and you just come back and you just have this spirit in you, this Hawaiian thing that it just gets in you. And, you know, it's really beautiful. It's
everything about Hawaii, the people, the place, the atmosphere, even the air wants you to just relax.
Yeah, that's so true.
And it is nice. You know, I remember the first time we went, I got up really early in the morning. I'm walking down the beach and there was a couple of guys fishing. They looked like locals, you know, and they were just, they gave me the shock and they said, "Aloha," you know, and it was like, wow, people don't do that in LA.
No, they give you a shaka, but it's a, you know, it's that middle finger shaka.
One finger shaka. Yeah, right?
Exactly. You know, but you know, funny you mentioned that. So when I was there, I lived in a condo. You know, I was a young lieutenant at the time, first lieutenant. And I was living in the Makawa Village condominiums in this little town called Ka'ava. I have to do that. Ka'ava. Because it's K-AAA-WA, you know, and they're all pronounced. And it's towards the North Shore between Kaneohe and like the Polynesian Cultural Center, kind of in between there. It's right next to a restaurant called the Crouching Lion. They're these dark brown condos, and they're right there. I mean, the Cam Highway, Kamehameha Highway. For, you know, non-locals,
it's Cam
Highway.
As the locals call it,
right? We call it Cam Highway. It's, you know, it runs right out there, and there's some rocks on the other side and the water. So it's like, that's it. You know, you drive down there, there's the road and the water. It comes right up to you. So you're right on the ocean, and I had a little lanai. I mean, it was a tiny place. It was like 750 square feet, like nothing. You know, bedroom, a bathroom, a 4x4 kitchen, you know, and a living room and a lanai, a little box.
Yeah,
it was heaven. You know, I could open the, you know, the screen and just listen to the ocean at night when I'm sleeping, and it was beautiful. You know, and so I bought that thing. Well, I don't get into all the details, but I ended up having to sell it. You know, and you know, I admit, what a great place to live for a short period of time and being able to say you did that. I mean, it was it was just an experience, you know.
Yeah, and you have a tune called Kaava.
Yes, that's where I was going. Yeah, exactly. So I was so here's how that came about. It's kind of cool. So you know how it is. You're trying to do an album, and you know, you're trying to come up with songs for it. You know, it's hard to come up with 10 or 12 songs. You know, I got to about six, and I was burnt out. I'm like, I can't come up with anything more, right? You know, what am I going to do? So I came up with a couple more, and so I just had to finish. I have to have at least one more, you know, nine songs, you know, whatever. So I was listening to Kenny Sasaki's Singapore Moon.
By the way,
it's on his, what is it called? Something for Tiki Bars, or it's a Tiki Bars album. It's an EP. Great album. I love that guy, and his music is phenomenal. And it was kind of a cool song that had this little strumming ukulele on it, you know? And I'm like, you know what? That inspired me. And I was like, I need to do a Hawaiian song, something with ukulele, and keep it really simple. So I just came up with a little chord progression. You know, probably had been done 100 times. I did this little chord progression on the ukulele, and I put in a little backing congas and a shaker. So a little simple percussion. And then I said, okay, I got to come up with a little some kind of hook, you know. That's got to get a hook, you know.
Yeah.
So I broke out the lap steel, which, by the way, I don't play. Okay, but I wanted it on my album, so I learned to do little things. You know, I kind of play by ear. So So I just started, just coming up with little riffs in that key that I was playing that progression in. Yeah, I think I got a song here, you know. And so I had a cool song that sounded kind of Hawaiian, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to put this on the album, and I'll call it Kaava. Where could I live there?
There you go.
Yeah.
Love it. And you know what? Yeah. One of the locals there gave me the clue. She's like, we pronounce every vowel.
Yes, every vowel.
So when you see them together, you give that little space. And
that is the trick.
That's the trick, yeah.
Because, you know, you'll see those Hawaiian words, and some of them are like, they're so long, you know, they're, you know, they could be like a foot and a half long, right?
Yeah.
Right. So how you pronounce that? Pronounce every vowel. I mean, you'll start getting it, and you'll be able to pronounce it. So,
yeah. Cool. And it's worked for me. I realized, like, oh, that's it. Okay. Yeah. So when you see a bunch of vowels together, like
that, and
like,
W's are generally pronounced like a V.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool, man. I would love to keep rolling, but I think we've kind of come to the end.
All right. Well, my Mai Tai is empty.
My Mai Tai is empty as well. So
sound effects.
Yeah, it's empty. And
I see you had a mint sprig in yours.
I do. I started growing my own mint.
Yeah, nice.
And,
I usually go commando with my Mai Tais, you know, because, you know, I'm not trying to impress anybody, but I did do a half shell, you know, half lime shell, this one. I just didn't have any mint. So,
you know, I bought mint forever, and then some friends of mine said, you know, this stuff grows like a weed.
It does.
And I said, well, okay, I'll give it a shot. And it really does.
Yeah, I grew it last year, and it went really well until we had a really hot spell and I didn't water for a while, and they kind of withered away. But some of it came back. It's pretty resilient, plant.
Yeah, I went and got two different ones. I got the classic one, and it's the strain is called Kentucky Colonel. Okay. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, well, that one I got to get. And then I got this one here, which is
Kentucky Colonel.
Yeah, Kentucky Colonel.
I'm sorry, but that's not like should be fried chicken or something.
Yeah, I know. It's like Colonel Sanders.
There's a mint on your fried chicken.
But I got this other one too. It's called Pineapple Mint.
Really? Okay, that sounds a little more tiki drink like.
It's supposed to have a faint smell of pineapple, and I don't get it, but I guess, you know, whatever. But it grows like a weed too, so hey.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, it was wonderful to have you on the show, man. I cannot thank you enough for coming on.
Well, Mark, it's been a pleasure, and I was really excited to do the show and to meet you and to present some of this music, and I'm grateful for you playing the music, and hopefully there'll be more to come.
Right on, and I know I'm going to be playing more of your music in the future.
Oh, I think you will, yeah, hopefully.
You're going to have more stuff. So, again, it was wonderful meeting and hanging out with you and with Darren. And we have got to do that again.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Definitely got to do that again.
For sure.
Okay, until next time, aloha.
Aloha.
All right, great big thank yous out to Mike Young, a.k.a. Milton Moai of Mr. Moai and the Tiki Heads for joining us. And, of course, my Mai Tai is empty, which means we've come to the end of another visit here at the Quiet Village. I hope you enjoyed the music. I hope you enjoyed your visit. And I want to remind you that you can visit the Quiet Village at any time by simply going to digitiki.com, where you can get a complete rundown of all the tracks on this and every past episode, stream past episodes, and of course, tune in to Quiet Village Radio 24/7. You can also find Quiet Village Radio on other services like TuneIn and other radio databases. So definitely check that out. Also, be sure to visit the Quiet Village gift shop if you want to pick up some flotsam and jetsam that washes ashore every once in a while. I'd appreciate that. So now I'm going to leave you. Until next time, I'm going to leave you with a tune by Mr. Moai and the Tiki Heads. And it was one of the tunes he was talking about, the place where he used to live, Ka'aava. I have to say that right. Ka'aava. So here you go. Until next time, everyone, don't just say aloha, live aloha. Leave the world a little bit better when you go to bed as it was when you found it in the morning. Until next time, we'll see you back here at the Quiet Village.